We're glad that the altar is always opened, that God is always here, that His arms are stretched out still, or outstretched, however it says. So glad that we can come to Him day or night, any hour of the day, and that He hears our cries, aren't you?
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Before I start, I would like to give a testimony of how gracious the Lord has been to me this week. We often say that we don't know what a day will bring forth. Well, we don't know what a week will bring forth. And sometimes we might think, well, I don't quite know that I was prepared for that. And yet, the Lord does something that is beyond us, beyond our natural reaction, human reactions. And I want to testify that He did that for me this week, that it was marvelous, the power that He gave me and the victory that He gave me. And I still have it. Thank the Lord. So I just wanted to give that little testimony before we begin. But we have a beginning scripture tonight, and we do desire you to pray that the Lord will help us and that we will be able to be led of the Spirit. I value the Holy Spirit. I value the leadings of the Holy Spirit. I value the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I value the Word of God. And no matter what man can say to even fill in the gaps or whatever, the Word of the Lord is the most important of any message. But the beginning scripture is very familiar to us all, and it's Psalms 37 and 37. And it said, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. And Sister Rosa came to the altar and maybe feeling some imperfections. But how many of the rest of us have met those places too? And it says, mark the perfect man. Maybe we look around and we really can't see someone that we consider perfect in every sense of the word and every way. And maybe man and man does. Man disappoints us. But I believe the Lord wants to teach us something about perfection. I believe He wants us to first of all look to the one that is perfect. If I patterned my life after man, I would fall very short of grace. But if I am patterning my life after the one that is perfect, it may take a lifetime. The scripture speaks about going from strength to strength. I believe we go from perfect places to perfect places. I believe this will be brought out. But I just want to name out what divine perfection is, because God is perfect in every way. And it may be hard for us to really take that all in, because we see so much imperfections, possibly in ourselves, possibly in family members, possibly even in others that are in the church. We see imperfections, but if you can look away from the human imperfections and really consider God's perfection, that He is perfect in every way. He does not make a mistake. He always has right judgment. He is not fallible. He is infallible. His word, he has given us his word, and he has given it without repentance because it is perfect. It is entire. It is wanting nothing. The plan that God had for mankind from the beginning was perfect. Every part of the plan of God for the salvation of man is perfect. He has a plan of salvation to save every soul on the face of the earth to the uttermost if they come to him. His plan is not flawed in any way. It's perfect. Man is fallible. Man is subject to failure. Man is subject to mistakes. Man is subject to misjudged situations. God does not make a mistake in judgment. Man can make a mistake in judgments. Man is subject to uttering words that we sometimes have to repent of. God does not have to do that. He's perfect in all of his ways, in all of his words. Even as he speaks to you and me in our heart, whether it be through dreams, whether it be through impressions by the Spirit, it will be in agreement with his word because it's perfect. If it is imperfect, what is spoken to you and does not agree with the word of God, it's not from God. Because what he will say is perfect. It will not be a lie. There is no darkness in him, the scripture says, because he is perfect. So, I have a portion of scripture. It's in Philippians, the third chapter. And there is a little title over to the side, and I want to use it in our thought this evening. It says over in the margin, it says, Paul's holy ambition. You know what ambition is. We think of ambition as being something that people are reaching out for wealth, reaching out for reputation, a high reputation, reaching out for fame, power. The definition says eager desire to succeed. So Paul had all of those things in his heart. He was seeking for, he was earnestly seeking for to be successful in the spiritual realm. You know, the earthly realm is going to all burn up. It's going to, whatever I have, I cannot take it with me. Whatever I have in the bank, it will not save me, and I cannot take it with me. If I have fame, if I have fortune, if that's been my ambition, and I have sought after those things in a carnal way, they will come to naught. People that are seeking for fame in the entertainment world, it is only for a space of time. After a while, they are too old. They lose their looks. The people don't get turned on by their singing. Their voices change, so they can't keep it. But I want to tell you tonight that if you will be ambitious for the holy things, that you will seek those things that are above and not the things of the earth. You will be a winner either way. The song says, I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. Well, I will be a winner in this life, but I'll be a winner in the next life. So holy ambition is something I want us to keep in our mind as we proceed with this chapter. I do have a considerable amount of reading tonight, and we will try to paraphrase as much as we can for the sake of time. But I'm going to be looking at verses 7 through 17 of this chapter. And Paul said, I counted loss for Christ. Those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. I'm giving them up. And then verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency, for the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And the last part of that verse says, that I may win Christ. How ambitious are we to win Christ? What does that mean, to win Christ? Has he won our heart? If we are saved tonight, the scripture says he loved us before we loved him. And so he won us by his love. But there's another side of the coin. I need to win Christ. I need to have an ambition to be like him. And I want to have his character, his faith. Do you ever pray for the faith of Christ? Did you know Christ had a special faith? It's important for us to have the faith of Christ. That's winning Christ. That's being ambitious for his faith to be in us, to work in us, to the fullness of whatever that means. What kind of faith did he have? He had a faith that went to the cross. He had a faith that did not fail. So I want to win Christ. And then verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. I believe we've been speaking a little bit about that in the last couple of messages. We can't trust in our own righteousness, but we must not ever think ourselves so righteous and so holy and lifted up and trust in ourselves. We will fall. The scripture says, pride goeth before a fall. If we're trusting in our own holiness or righteousness, that is pride. And we will fail. Yes. But if we are having the righteousness of God, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Recognize, get it in your heart, get it in your understanding that you have no righteousness. Your righteousness, my righteousness, the scripture says, is as filthy rags. And when we see our righteousness in that light, we'll be reaching forth for, we'll be having an ambition. We'll be, let's see that definition, eagerly desiring to succeed in his righteousness, being filled with his righteousness. And then the reason is that I may know him. We need to be acquainted with him and in the power of his resurrection. And then verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Mark the perfect man. I'm going to be striving for this perfectness, but I'm not already perfect. I am human. I am fallible. I'm subject to mistakes. I'm subject to misjudgments. I'm subject to uttering words sometimes that I have to repent of. And so I'm not perfect yet, but I follow after. So Paul is saying here, I haven't quite attained it, but I'm working toward it. That's my goal. I am ambitious to seek after those things in this life. But I'm going to follow after it that I may apprehend. And then skip down to the part of 13. This one thing I do. What do we have to do? We have to sometimes forget about the things that are in the past. We can't let past failures color and influence or hinder our victories for today. Whatever today is, when today is gone and you get up in the morning, that will be today. We call it tomorrow right now, but it will be today when you wake up in the morning. And whatever has happened in my past, don't you know the devil loves to bring up our past? He tries his best to hinder us from having this victory. And so he tries to accuse. What does the scripture say? He is an accuser of the brethren. So you can identify that voice. If it's an accusing voice, if it's accusing you of past failures, how are you going to handle it? You're going to get down under it? You're going to get depressed? That's what he wants. But are you going to look at the Word of God and say, you know, I repented of that? And the Word says, you've got to keep hold of the Word of God. You've got to use the Word of God that He would remember it no more. God does not remember those things that we say, Lord, forgive me of that. The Scripture says He cast it as far as the east is from the west. These are the ways for you and me to be perfected, to come to a place of perfection. And it goes on and it says, forgetting those things which are behind and doing what? Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I have written out to the side, probably from some other translation that impressed me. It says, straining every nerve. Putting forth that kind of effort for reaching forth to the things that are before. We cannot go back and correct one day of any time of our life. I cannot correct anything from yesterday. It can only be put under the blood. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that fountain of blood that it still is flowing today, and it comes down and will come down to every generation that is born on the face of the earth till the last day of time. That fountain of blood that covers all of those things. And then it says, this is how we're going to have perfection in our life. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We know the world has diminished the standard of the calling of God. It is not a high calling. A high calling is something that you and I are pressing toward all the time, till the day we die. I don't know that we ever come to a place that we can say, I have made it. I'm going to, as the message was this morning, I am going to still need the Lord tomorrow for the same kind of grace for the same kind of power, and so I'm going to have to press for it. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize. We could call it like a benchmark. You know what a benchmark is? A mark that it's made on a wall, but you reach for it. It's the standard of holiness, a benchmark of holiness, of perfection. We are to mark the one that is perfect. And behold the upright. He has some upright people in this world. And we can behold them, those that follow Christ. Paul said in one place, you follow me as I follow Christ. We don't want to ever follow man blindly. We want to always keep our eye on the benchmark of holiness, because that's the perfect God. His holiness is perfect. He's saying, I want you to come up here. I want you to reach forth, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. And then he says in verse 15, let us therefore as many be perfect. Well, how can, I've already said we're fallible, we're subject to mistakes. But he wants to perfect us in our spirit. He wants to perfect us in our heart, in our desire, in our determination. He wants to give us something that will endure the test of time, endure the test of my life. And so he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. Have a mind toward perfection. Have a mind that you're always reaching for the perfection of Christ. Understand your weakness as a human being, but don't let it destroy you. Because he said he knows our weaknesses. And he is able to help us. Thank the Lord. But we need this mind. And then this is a scripture that I have given to many of you, even when we would maybe pray together. But I will never forget when the Lord gave it to me. It was a number of years ago before Doug and Lanita went to Honduras. And Doug was teaching the adult class. I was in a struggle. I was driving myself. I could not be satisfied in my ministry. I was, in my mind, I was never doing enough. I was being accused of the enemy. And Doug read this verse. It wasn't even a part of the lesson that morning. And the Spirit of the Lord enlightened my eyes and inspired it to me. And I have been inspired with this ever since. So let's read it now. It says, let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Think about this now. If in anything ye be otherwise minded. What is otherwise minded? Less perfect minded. We're human. There's going to be times that our mind is going to play a trick on us. Maybe our faith won't be quite as strong at a certain place in our life as what we desire. Or any number of things can happen in our mind. But the Word says, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. That's my scripture. I hold on to that. It gave me a rest. It gave me a rest in my ministry. The enemy had to stand back. I actually felt that the Lord blessed my ministry more after that with freedom than even before that. So this is my scripture. And any one of us, we're striving toward perfection. And we're going to give the balance of it all. So God will show it unto us. And then verse 16, the last part says, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. What does that mean? I believe that God wants His people to all speak the same thing. He wants them to be in unity. He wants them to be walking by the same rule. He wants us to mind the same things. That's pleasing unto the Lord for His people to be in unity. Brethren, be followers together of me. And then here is another word, mark. Mark them, look at them, which walk so as ye have us for an example. Oh, let us all be examples of striving for the holiness and the holy way. Not carnally. God will not bless us to hold righteousness in ungodliness. He will not bless that. But He desires for us to walk as ye have us for an example. So Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And then we have the scripture that seems like a very high calling, but it's the word of God. And it says, be ye holy as I am holy. He says in another place, be ye holy, be ye perfect. Holiness and perfection go hand in hand. So the one says, be ye holy as I am holy. And then the other scripture says, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And God understands us as, He said in one place, Brother Dan I think brought it out, or someone did this morning, that He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. He understands our humanity. He is a God that cares. You just got through singing a song. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes. I know He cares. He wants to help every one of us make heaven. And He's going to do everything He can to help us make heaven. Thank the Lord. So His plan for man is perfect. And it's entire, and it's wanting nothing. So you and I, what is our job to seek after the holiness and the perfection? It's for us to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I'm thinking about redemption. I'm so thankful to know the plan of redemption. I'm so thankful that I was never polluted in my thinking. Now, this doesn't mean if in the past we have believed something else that we can never believe the truth. God has a true way of saving His people from their sins. We all know this. But the world has it so watered down that they don't have the power of it working in their lives. And I keep thinking about being in the church that we were out there in California with my nieces. And there's just some words that they give you when they have their invitations to the, or they may call it, I don't know what they called it, but they had the pastor standing down. I don't think they had an altar, but the pastor was there. And so as they sang this one song, he said, if you want to come to Christ, come and talk to me right now. You know, it was not, It was, you just say these words, I believe in Christ, I believe in the resurrection, I believe in the coming of the Lord. They had it all written down there on their program. And that would save them. But let me tell you, and you know this, it takes true repentance for us to have the blood of the Lamb covering us and redeeming us. And then beyond that, I've spoke about the perfect plan for man. The perfect plan for man is that we receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, I want to tell you, it is so important that we receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, that we be wholly sanctified. And if you're here and you don't understand all of that, I didn't either. I didn't understand the fullness of it, but I put in for it. And the Lord led me and opened it up to me to where I did know it. I did understand it. I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life. That's part of His perfect plan for man. Oh, I want to tell you, I value the Holy Spirit. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again and again. I thank the Lord for His Spirit that is holy. That's all that is. It's the Spirit of God that is holy. It's part of the Trinity. We sang wonderful songs tonight. Oh, come, thou mighty King. We invited the Holy Spirit. We invited His very presence into our assembly tonight to be here with us, to bless and anoint the songs, to speak to us. And I believe He's done that. Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for His Holy Spirit. It is the power. I like to say it this way. And when I pray, I say, Lord, fill me with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Seek for that every day. When you get up in the morning and you have your daily appeal to the Lord for grace for that day, don't fail to ask for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you that day. Tell Him how valuable the Holy Spirit is to you, that you value it and you want it for that day. So I believe that that the Lord has a perfect plan, and the work is perfecting us through the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. And there is a scripture that it's in Psalms, and it says, He will perfect that which concerneth you. So whatever you have in your life, if it's needing some perfecting, He will do it. If it concerns you and me, it says it concerns me, but I'm saying it for all of us. The Lord wants to perfect your life, and He will perfect it because it concerns you. Thank the Lord. The next scripture we have is in James 3 and 2, and it says, For in many things we all offend. And I have some scriptures written, some thoughts that I have, 3 and 2, on that scripture. One says, For in many things we offend all, or you say, could say all offend. We offend at times. Or it says we often make mistakes. Anybody here not made any mistakes? But you know, we're reaching forth and pressing toward the mark. And we're hoping that we're making less mistakes than when we were younger. We're hoping that we have learned and found out how He's able to help us. And so that's one of the ways that it says, or we all stumble. There's a scripture that says, a just man falls 7 times. Does he stay down? He rises. So if we've had any stumbles, we don't want to stay down. It's what we do with our mistakes. It's what we do when we stumble. We get up again and we go forward. by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord. And then it says, if any man offend not, in what? In his word. In word. If he's perfect in his word, or if a man slips in his speech, that's also another way of saying it. The same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. So when we read this passage, we see that there is a secret. Because if we can govern our tongue, if we can have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us in our speech, it affects our body or our life. It says that it will bridle the whole body. So the rest of our little thoughts this evening, we're going to speak about our speech or our tongue. But I want to give you one scripture before we go to those. It's in Isaiah, the 11th chapter. And oh, this is one of my favorites also. The Lord gave this to me many years ago. It's still inspired to me. I still use it in my prayers. This is a prophecy of Christ, starting at actually verse 1, but verse 2 I'm going to give to you. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, speaking of Christ. And when the Lord gave this to me, you know what he said? He said, if it is for Christ, it is for you too. And my faith got a hold of it, and I have just claimed this sometimes daily. And so it's the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God, and shall make him, verse 3, quick of understanding in the fear of the Lord. You want to be quick of understanding in the fear of the Lord? Start seeking for these things to be in your life. If you can't memorize it, write it down. Have it in your prayer place. Tell the Lord every day, Lord, I want this spirit. What is a spirit? It's God's spirit. I want the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Anybody ever come to you and need counsel and you need it right then and you don't have time to ask the Lord to give you words for counsel? If you're seeking for it every day, the Lord showed this to me. He'll provide it at the right moment. But I will have been seeking for it. I'm going to encourage you to do the same. Ask the Lord to inspire this scripture to you. Believe it. Ask for faith to believe it. So now, I want to use some of that spirit of wisdom and apply it to our tongue, or our words. So the next scripture is Ephesians 4 and 29. And it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But this is what is to come from our mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Isn't that wonderful? If we just stopped at the first part, you might say, well, I'll just keep my hand over my mouth so I won't ever utter any corrupt thing. But the next part tells me, I want you to strive for perfection. I want you to be thinking about seeking for the wisdom, seeking for the understanding, and then you will be able to say those good words to the use of edifying others, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I'm telling you, if you want something to study, you study about what the words of our mouth does. In negative things and positive things. There's no way I can give them all to us tonight, but I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of scripture that can help you and me find perfection, find striving for perfection in the words of our mouth. Job 6, I'm not sure what verse that is, but this is another scripture that the Lord inspired me with a number of years ago. Oftentimes, when I'm preparing to go to Monarch, I'll be seeking the Lord, and I'll be telling the Lord, Lord, prepare me. Prepare me to be able to work with those I may pray with. I don't know who I may pray with. Give me something for them. And this is the scripture the Lord gave me 1 year. And I don't know how many times I used this same scripture at the altar with different people. And this is it. How forcible are right words? It seemed like that year we were dealing with the tongue more than anything else. Isn't God good? He gave that scripture. I've never forgot it. How forcible are right words? How perfect are right words? It reminds me of when I was working with one of my children and just couldn't hardly correct them, and I was feeling bad about it, and everyone was in bed, and I was up by myself and seeking the Lord to know how to help this child. And I opened my Bible, and the Lord just caused it to be on my, just right there on the page, and provoke to love and good works. That's all that stood out to me. And the Lord spoke to me. Now listen, the Lord can speak to us, and it will be the same as what is in the Word of God. It's not going to be contrary to the Word. And this is what He said. He said, you know how to provoke her to anger. Learn how to provoke her to love and good works. You think that came from the Lord? That came from the Lord. So the Lord can give us these things and help us. How forcible are right words? And then Proverbs 16 is another one I want to give, and it's the 23rd and 24th verse. Oh, this is a good one. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. The heart of the wise can teach our own mouth. Thank the Lord. But where's the wisdom coming from? We're seeking for that spirit of wisdom, that spirit of understanding, that spirit of counsel, that spirit of might, that spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of God. Seek after that, and the Lord will give you the wisdom to teach your own mouth. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Isn't that precious? And then it says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Oh, how many of us like to hear pleasant words? Or do we like to hear sharp words, cutting words, hateful words? None of us would say, I choose those words to hear. Oh, let us seek after the wisdom that we will be wise and teach our own mouth and add learning to our lips. And then pleasant words are as honeycomb and sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Then Isaiah 50 and 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. How did you learn it? You learned it by experience. Experiences that you've gone through. Maybe it took you hearing somebody else speak not so nice to you. How did you respond? I'm going to testify. because it's a great milestone in my life. It happened maybe, 2 years ago. I don't really know. Can't remember. I don't keep track of those things. I want to tell you, it's better for us not to really keep track of the hurts that come in our life. Only keep track of the victory. The victory it will take the sting out of the hurt for one thing, but if you dwell on the hurt, it'll still be there to sting. But if you dwell on the victory, so I want to testify to victory. So I had this situation happen to me with another individual speaking some very unkind words on the phone. And my first reaction is, I am so stunned I can't even speak. But do you know, all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came over me. I was calm in my spirit. And I humbled myself to that person like the Word says to. And it was from the heart. It wasn't me just trying to make peace. Oh, I want to tell you, that was the sweetest victory. That's what He wants to give to us. And those things teach us something. We're going to learn something when we gain victories like that, when we've been in a troubled place. And so it says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word. Oh, don't you want to know how to speak a word in season? It's by going through some things, having some experiences, and maybe they sting and they hurt, and the Lord gives us the victory. I remember one time, I'm not through at that verse. No, I was a teenager at this time. And there was one sister that I went to a lot there in Guthrie. And I wore her out. But I didn't know it. But anyway, I went down to the altar again at a certain time, and she came, and that time she scolded me. Oh, I felt so bad. But do you know what? That came back to me after I was in the ministry. And when I might have somebody that I got weary with, the Lord brought that back to my mind. And He said, don't ever do that. So see, He taught me something by something that hurt. So the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Oh, the ones that we work with that are weary, what do we want to do? Cast them down further or lift them up? We want to lift them up. And it says, He awakeneth morning by morning, and He awakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. So every morning, if you'll listen, the Lord may want to teach you something. May want to bring something to your mind and teach you something of that experience. So the Lord is gracious. Two more scriptures, Matthew 19, 20 and 21. And I'm just going to give you a little paraphrase of that, because that is the account where the young man came to Jesus and said, What should I do to be saved? And the Lord gave him some instructions, and he said, I've done all of that. And then he said, what do I lack? And here's what the Lord said. And Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect. And I'm just going to stop right there and jump to the end. He said, follow me. Told him to sell a lot of things, and sometimes you and I have to sell out ourselves It's not going to be me selling out all of my earthly possessions, but it's all of those things I might be holding on to. And he says, you want to be perfect? Follow me. So the last scripture is Colossians 3 and 14. Just a portion of that. It says, above all, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now we've started out tonight with the scripture that says for us to mark the perfect man and to behold the upright. And it said the end of that man is peace. And as you and I strive to follow the Lord and strive for His perfection, because I don't know of any perfect people. I only know of people that follow Christ. They're the ones I can pattern my life after. I can look at their example, but I've got to have my eyes on the perfection of God. So the end of you and your life and mine, if we will follow and strive for that perfection, our end will be peace. Thank the Lord. Pray for me. I want this in my life. I am rejoicing what the Lord did for me this last week. It was, to me, nothing short of a miracle, because I know my humanity and I know my weakness. But He just gave me a calm spirit and He gave me joy in the midst of it. And I thank the Lord. So, we sort of skipped forward and had the little message now. And so I guess we will have prayer request and have prayer now. Pray for me.